Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
How many of you were here last week? Okay, you remember last week when Pastor Anita gave us the update on the twin boys, the twin boys that we have been praying for? Can I give you some great, awesome, amazing news this morning? You guys have been praying. We were praying, you know, obviously for healing. I'll tell you one prayer that is continually being answered, and that is Colson, the twin that was still in the hospital. Remember, Bowen was able to go home. Colson was still in the hospital. We've been praying for him. He had another MRI, and the mass in his brain is smaller than the scan 2 months ago. And Colson came home yesterday. Come on! Thank you, God! He hears your prayers. Don't stop praying. We still need to be praying for those two little boys. I'm believing, and I know that every single one of you are believing, that they will grow up to be strong men of God, that they will not just survive, that they will thrive, and that I believe that they both of them have purpose in the kingdom that God has designed, that only Bowen and Colson can complete in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Well, in a couple of Sundays, we're going to do something called Connection Sunday, and I just kind of want to throw that out there to you. Connection Sunday is on September 21st, and the reason why I'm telling you about it now is because we're going to do something fun. We want everyone to wear a t-shirt, a shirt that represents your home state, your home state. So I found, I'm from the great state of Missouri, the Show Me State. And I found a shirt that has the state of Missouri on it. It says, I'm from the Show Me State. So we just would like to do something fun on that day to where we can connect with one another. You may see some people that, oh my goodness, you're my people from the land down under in Alabama or wherever that is, you know? So we just want to do something fun. So I wanted to give you a couple of weeks. So if you needed to go to Amazon, okay, husbands, just know that Amazon packages are coming within the next couple of weeks. But it's for church and it's for God. So we're all good, right? And all the ladies said amen. Amen. There you go. Today, we're starting a brand new series, and I am so excited about this series. It's called We, Who We Are. And at TFH, we are more than the church building that we attend. We're more than the church building that you are sitting in this morning. We are the church. Come on, say, we are the church. We're a family united by our identity and driven by our calling to make disciples. Over the next several weeks, we'll unpack 8 core values that shape who we are. These values guide how we live daily. This new series is a call to embrace the culture of the Father's House, a family rooted in truth, driven by the gospel, united in love, and passionate about God's glory. It's also an invitation to find your place in God's story, living out the mission and vision together, not the pastor on the stage, not the staff, together as the church, living out the mission and the vision that God has given to us. This is our culture. This is who we are. And I believe this is where you belong. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how you have already met us in this place and in this space today. Father, help me to communicate exactly what you have given me to communicate. Help me to say what only you want me to say and shut my mouth with anything that you don't want me to say. I stand here on this platform today, God, as your mouthpiece, holding up truth. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to hear, ears to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that is open to receive what it is you have for us today. We know you're speaking, and we need to hear you today. And we thank you that we will hear what you have to say. We won't just hear it today, but we will actually do something with it. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have you ever driven by a construction site? I'm sure everybody in the room has.
You know, at first it doesn't look like much, just some dirt, concrete, maybe some pipes sticking out of the ground, unless you're building in the villages like Hannah and her soon-to-be husband, and it's like almost done, and it's only been like 3 weeks. Not everybody has crews in the villages that just crank it out and get it done. But I can remember when Vance and I were first married, and we built our very first home, and I can remember we didn't have the luxury of teams in the villages, so it took a lot longer. So I can remember driving by and seeing in those first stages and thinking to myself, when is something going to happen? I mean, I'm dirt and concrete, that's great. I mean, something has been done. But man, I want to see some walls go up. I want to see the roof go up. I want to see some drywall and some things go on the inside. Because continually looking at some dirt and concrete certainly isn't glamorous or exciting. But the builder knew that the most important work was happening right then and there. Because if the foundation is wrong, the whole structure is doomed. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching in the text we're going to look at today. He paints a picture of two builders, one who built on rock, the other on sand. One house withstood the storm, the other collapsed. And here's the truth. Our lives, our families, and even our church are only as strong as the foundation they're built on. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7, whether that is your paper Bible or your digital device, or you can look at the Sky Bible and the scripture will be on there. But before we get into Matthew 7, I just want to tell you that at the end of Matthew 7 is the culmination of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount spans over three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus's blueprint for kingdom living. It's about heart transformation, not just about behavior modification. Jesus calls us to a higher righteousness, a deeper trust in God, and a lifestyle that reflects his kingdom in everyday life. So Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27 says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." Now let's stop right there. Let's not go any further. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he's not talking about the words he's getting ready to speak. He's talking about the words he had been speaking on the hill that day in Galilee in chapters 5, 6, and 7. So if you don't know the blueprint that was laid out in 5, 6, and 7, you got to go back. I don't have time today to go through the Sermon on the Mount, but I want to challenge you today, this week, get into the Word. Go back to chapters 5, 6, and 7 and get the blueprint. Because if you don't get the blueprint, the rest of this doesn't make any sense. So therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus paints such a clear picture here for us. Two builders, two houses, two foundations. And the difference between standing strong and falling apart wasn't about the storms they faced, because storms came to both houses. But the foundation they chose was the difference. Notice how he begins. Everyone who hears these words of mine. The foundation begins with his word. And that leads us to the first of three truths that we're going to talk about today and that we need to grab hold of. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one is this: the word defines what we believe. The word defines what we believe. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine. Notice he doesn't say whoever hears the news. Whoever turns on Fox, whoever turns on MSNBC, no. He doesn't say whoever follows their feelings. He says, these words of mine. Pretty clear. Church, in a world where opinions shift like sand, we need a foundation that doesn't move. Think about it. Culture is constantly changing its mind. What was considered true about 50 years ago, morality-wise, is completely different today. And I would venture to say 3 to 5 years ago is completely different. Even science textbooks get rewritten every few years as new theories replace old ones. Fashion trends come and go. Just pull out your old high school yearbook and you'll see that that trend is no longer, although some of them come back around, right? I'm hoping that some of them don't. Okay, and then let's be honest, even our feelings change. One day you feel, you wake up and you're so confident, and then the next you're questioning everything. But listen to me, church. God's word is timeless. It doesn't get rewritten. It doesn't expire. It doesn't need an upgrade every few months, every so often, to work out the bugs in the program. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, that stands forever. Amen. See, truth isn't discovered in culture. It's revealed in scripture. Truth isn't discovered in culture. It's revealed in scripture. It tells us who God is. It tells us who we are. And it tells us how we are to live. And without this foundation, there is no mission. What are you building your beliefs on? Are you building them on your feelings, your friends, your social media feed? Or are you building your beliefs on the word of God? Amen. Number two, truth. The word directs how we live. The word directs how we live. Now, here's the key difference Jesus points out. He says, the wise man hears these words and puts them into practice. It's not enough to know the Bible. The Pharisees knew the Bible. They knew it by heart. They knew it inside out, frontwards and backwards, but they didn't live it. They didn't live it. It was up here, but it hadn't migrated down into here, into their heart, where they lived it out. See, the Bible isn't just a book to study. It's a life to obey. Yes, we are to study the word, but it's not just a book to study. Folks, you got to live it out. It's a life to obey. Biblical truth is not just information. It's transformation. And this is where our mission flows from. We are dedicated to loving God, loving others, and serving the world. Let's say that together. Loving God, loving others, serving the world. Say it again. Loving God, loving others, and serving the world. Loving God comes from obeying his word. Loving others comes from living his word. And serving the world comes from sharing his word. See, it's not just a theory, it's practice. It's not just beliefs, it is behavior. We have to actually take action. James 1:22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't just hear it, do it. Turn to your second choice and say, you too. They're not your second choice. I was just kidding. The third truth that I want to look at is this. The word gives us an unshakable future. Jesus said storms will come. He didn't say if. He said when. There will be storms of temptation, storms of loss, storms of doubt, storms of cultural pressure. And if your life is built on sand, the storm will wipe you out. But if your life is built on the word of God, you will stand. Amen. You might fall, but you will get back up standing. Because I don't want the enemy to twist my words here today. And I don't want you to hear that I give my life to Christ and I start looking at all of this and I start studying, my life is just going to be perfect. It's going to be rainbows and sunshine. No, we still live in a fallen world. And Jesus said, you will have trouble. But if you place your trust in him, if you build a solid foundation on the rock, on Christ, you will not crumble. You will not collapse. See, the same is true for our church. A church built on programs, personalities, or preferences will collapse eventually. but a church built on the eternal word of God will endure. 30 years here at the Father's house. 30 years of the word of God enduring. Our pastors, Pastors Terry and Pastor Anita, said yes to the call. And the call was not, however you want to do it, Pastor Terry, however you want to do it, Pastor Anita. No, it's not about their preferences. It's not about their opinions. And it's not about our preferences either. What does the word say? What are we building on? Are we building on our own opinions? Or are we building on the word of God? This is why our vision is clear. We are committed to developing fully devoted followers of Christ. What does that even mean? Well, that means discipleship. Teaching people not just to know the Bible, but to live it. Not just to hear the truth, but to obey it, to stand firm on it. And can I tell you, it's not just the person who stands in this pulpit's responsibility. Yes, we do have a responsibility as the pastors of this house to teach and to guide, but it's every single one of us living out the mission and vision as we begin to build a strong foundation. We look at others and we help them build a strong foundation. Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with this story of the two builders, and he doesn't give us a third option. He says, you're either building on the rock or you're building on sand. You're either standing firm or you're heading for collapse. You're either wise or you're foolish. There's no in between. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. And the difference is not in the storm. The storm comes to both houses. The difference is in the foundation. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. See, when your life is built on the word, the storm doesn't break you, it proves you. The storm will not break you, it will prove you. It will prove what's inside of you. So here's the question we all have to answer today. What foundation am I building on? If you're taking notes today, I highly encourage you to write that down, and I want you to wrestle with that. Don't just give a quick churchy answer. Really dig in and ask yourself, self, what are you building on? What foundation are you building on? Holy Spirit, show me those things in those areas where maybe I've begun to build on the foundation of the word and then others where I haven't. See, if the word defines what you believe, then when culture shifts, you'll stand. If the word directs how you live, then when temptation comes knocking, you'll stand. If the word gives you your future, then when storms rage, you will still be standing. But if you build on anything else, if you build on your career, your feelings, your bank account, your relationships, when the winds blow, it will collapse. You may have been able to hold on so far, but at some point, it'll all come crashing down. Do you remember in school when you learned about concentric circles? Some of you are looking at me like, no. You're probably my people because I hated math. So how many in the room like did not like math and you didn't like, okay, look at all my people here today. All my people. Well, I probably wasn't paying attention in class when we talked about concentric circles, but concentric circles are this. Concentric circles have the same midpoint, but they have a different radius. So what I'm trying to say is concentric circles are, you start with the biggest circle and then you have a smaller circle inside of that. A smaller circle inside of that, and a smaller circle inside. Are you following with what I'm, what, stick in with me because I'm going somewhere. Don't check out. I want you to see this passage in Matthew 7, specifically verse 24, in concentric circles. I want you to sort of see them, these words of Jesus in layers. And he starts off with the big circle, and he says, everyone. Everyone includes believers and unbelievers. As we say in the South, all y'all. All y'all. All y'all in this big circle. This is what Romans chapter 1 calls general revelation, that everyone is privileged to experience. It's why the psalmist says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Because general revelation means that through the things God has created, you are able to see a reflection of the invisible God. The visible realities of earth and all that he's created tells us there has got to be a God somewhere. It's like when you go on a cruise and you're out in the middle of the ocean and you see the vast water all around you. It's all you can see. You can't see past water. There's just water everywhere. And then you go and you stand on the shore and it's only going so far because there's a God in heaven whose mighty hand is holding back the powers of the sea. Otherwise, the whole entire earth would be flooded. It blows my mind when I stand on the shore. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but when I stand, I was going to say when I stand on the ocean, I'm not Jesus, I'm not walking on water, but when I stand like on a cruise ship and I see the water everywhere, I'm like, oh my goodness, how vast this is. And then I stand on the shore and go, that was a whole lot of water out there. How in the world is it not just flooding? Because there's a God who's saying, no, you can only go so far. The heavens declare his glory. There's not a galaxy, there are galaxies out there with stars too numerous for us to count. The sun that he created that is so far away from us, not too far, not too close, just perfectly. The earth is spinning on its axis at just the right speed so you and I can sit in this room right now. I have no idea what would happen if it sped up or slowed down a little bit, but I'm thinking it's not good. We might see people start flying all over the room. But you understand what I'm saying. It's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. He says, everyone. And then the circle gets a little smaller. And he says, everyone who hears. Now, we're not talking about physical hearing. I'm not talking about the two ears on either side of your head. I'm talking about spiritual ears to hear and discern what the Spirit of God is saying. This is conviction. This is when Pastor Terry or whoever is up here teaching that we're teaching on something and you're like, why is there a spotlight on me and did they bug my house? Like, what is going on right now? Right? Sandy, our oldest daughter, she would come home sometimes from youth group and she'd say, did you tell my pastor about what was going on? No, haven't even had a conversation. Honey, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. It's when you read a verse 100 times and on this day, it's like Holy Spirit took out his highlighter and highlighted a verse and it jumped off the page. Anybody witnessing what I'm, okay. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you get spiritual ears to hear. God is always speaking, always moving, always directing and preparing a way. But if you don't have the right hookup, you can't pick up the frequency to be able to hear. It's like some of you who are young, you're not gonna relate to this, but way back in the day, do you remember like when you would watch TV and you only had three channels, like 2, 6, and 9? Anybody else in the room? You didn't have a remote control. You had to actually get up and go change the channel, right? I know you young people don't know about that. And I'm apparently not young anymore because I remember that. So I've leveled up. We're leveling up. We're not getting older. We're leveling up. So all of us in the room that have leveled up to that point, we remember a time when you only had like 2, 6, and 9. But do you remember the day that you decided to get cable? Or maybe it was satellite? And you push the guide and you're like, oh my goodness, there is like 400 channels. Like, I don't know about you, but it was overwhelming to me. I'm like, I don't even know what to, it's like when I turn on Netflix now and I just, for the next 45 minutes, I scroll through there trying to figure out what I'm gonna, anybody else? You're just trying to, you're like, I could have watched a whole movie by now. But now I'm just like, I'm done, I'm taking a nap. We're done. See, but those channels were always there. But it wasn't until the cable guy or the satellite guy came and gave me the hookup so that then I was able to tap onto the frequency of all of those channels. Holy Spirit is that hookup. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, the moment you place faith in Christ, you get the hookup. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence on the inside of you. All the power, all the authority of God the Father is in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you place faith in Jesus, you receive the greatest gift you will ever receive this side of eternity. You receive the person of God himself. He takes up residence on the inside of you and gives you ears to hear. Everyone who hears, he closes in the circle a little bit further. Everyone who hears these words of mine. See, Jesus had to clarify for those listening to him on that hill that day over 2,000 years ago, just as much as he needs to clarify it for us today. Because there were religious leaders that were saying things that were charismatic, they were clever, they were cute, but they weren't truth. And people were absorbing everything that they were saying just because it sounded good. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day that they were like whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside, they were full of dead man's bones and all kinds of uncleanliness. And these are the people that people were listening to. Church, we need to be so careful who we choose to listen to, who we're following on social media, sermons we're listening to, and taking what is said and applying it to our vocabularies and to our lives, because some of it sounds good. It's clever. It's aesthetically pleasing, but it isn't rooted in truth. Just like the teacher, pastor, and speaker must be responsible to the way they handle the word of God, the way they teach, they have a responsibility. We too, as the listener, we have to make sure that we aren't just absorbing everything we're hearing, but that we take what we've heard and that we test it against what the word says. So make it your business today. Don't just take what I say. Go back to the word. Go back to the book and be a student and say, Lord, is this what you said? We're going to have to be responsible and ask ourselves, is this reflective of Christ and his kingdom? Everyone who hears, everyone who hears these words of mine, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Why is this circle so small? We have churches all across America, on every corner. We have so many people in seats in church buildings across this land, America, today. But why does that number not match up to those that are going out and actually doing what God says? So many of us, including myself, we don't need to hear another sermon. We need to do what he said the last two sermons. Yes, yes, yes. I fear that there's way too much information and there's not enough transformation. There's a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. Yes. Being a believer is a free gift. Thank you, God, for the free gift of salvation. When I place my faith in Jesus, I receive the gift of salvation, and it's free. But being a disciple, that comes with a cost. Yes. It's denying myself, taking up my cross, and following Jesus. It's actually making decisions in my all-day, everyday life, not based on what I think is right. Not based on how it makes me feel. But based solely on his word, no matter how that makes me feel. Church, you're gonna have to decide, and only you can make this decision. Am I gonna become a disciple, or am I gonna play church for the rest of my life? And this invitation and opportunity will determine whether or not you and I have houses that stay standing, whether or not we have foundations that are secure, so that when the skies open up and the hurricane comes, our house is built on solid rock. Two families go to church. Both hear the same sermon. Both raise their kids. Both face storms. But one family builds their life on the rock. They pray together. They cling to scripture. They obey God, even when it's costly. The other family builds on sand. They know the Bible, but they don't live it out. The storm comes. One house stands. The other falls. The difference was never in the storm. The difference was in the foundation. This is why our mission and vision matter so much. We're not here to play church or build a social club or entertain ourselves. We are here to be a people dedicated to loving God, loving others, and serving the world. We're here to be a people committed to developing fully devoted followers of Christ. Why? So that we can make sure that whole neighborhoods and cities of houses are standing. It's not enough for just every single one of you to have a house standing. Church, don't you want to see your whole neighborhood full of houses standing? Don't you want to see this city full of houses standing? Don't you want to see Lake County full of houses standing? Sumter County, Marion County, all of Central Florida, all of Florida, all of America. It's going to take all of us. It can't just be me. Brenda, it can't just be you. Amber, it can't just be you. Randy, it can't just be you. We have to link arms together and truly be the church of the living God. None of that happens if we're not standing on the word. So today, I'm calling you, I'm imploring you, and I'm even gonna go so far as I am begging you not to just hear this message, because there are lives all around us that are crumbling. But we gotta respond to it. Some of you need to make a fresh commitment to open up your Bible, not just to read it, but to live it out. Some of you need to start leading your family on the foundation of God's word. Some of you need to shift your values. Stop letting culture define you and start letting scripture define you. And some of you need to take the first step today to stop building on sand and start building on Jesus Christ, the only firm foundation. Choose the rock. Choose the word. Choose Christ. Maybe today you realize you've been building on shifting sand. Maybe your foundation has been money, success, relationships, or even religion. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the firm foundation that never shifts, never cracks, never collapses. And no matter how far you think you have gone, no matter how jacked up and cracked up your foundation is, it's never too late. Today, you can surrender to Him. Today, you can build your life on a foundation that will never crumble. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. I first want to talk to those of us in the room who you are a believer. But Holy Spirit has touched a few areas in your life. And you know that there's some areas that you need to pay attention to. Some areas of the foundation that you haven't been paying attention to. And if that's you today, I just want you to very boldly, very honestly, just lift your hand in the room. I see those hands. Hands going up all over the place. Hands going up. Thank you for being honest today. Thank you for being honest. I want to pray for you today. Father God, you have seen every single one of these hands that have said, yes, I see that there's an issue here. I see that there are cracks in the foundation that I need to tend to. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you will, and I know you will because you are so faithful to who you are, that you will come alongside each and every one of these people who have raised their hands today in such honesty, saying that they need help, that they surrender. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come alongside them. Give them the fortitude, give them the backbone to stand on the word of God. I come against every lie of the enemy. I come against habitual habits that are not of you. I come against addictions, against chains. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you break them off of people so that they can live in the abundance and the freedom that you have called them to live. Now, for those of you that are in the room, that you realize today that you have been building on sand. And that God has opened up your eyes today. That if you don't do something, everything around you is going to collapse. It's very simple to start building your life on the rock. Start building your life on a firm foundation. Your first step is to accept Jesus. As I said before, it doesn't matter how far you feel like you have gone, how messed up you feel that you may have had so many people say, you'll never amount to anything. That's not what your God says about you. He created you for a purpose and on purpose. So if that's you today, and you know that that is the next step that you need to take, is to accept Jesus, accept that free gift of salvation. See, Jesus, all those years ago, he went to the cross because when man sinned, man had to die. And Jesus came to this earth. He limited himself. He put on an earth suit. He became like you and I, and he walked this earth a sinless life. And then he went to the cross, and he died the death that should have been the death that you and I should have died. But he went to the cross, and when he died, when he drew his last breath, he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, it is finished. And now all who believe in him, all who believe that he is Jesus, he is the Son of God, that he died and he rose 3 days later, will be saved. So if that's you in this room, I just want to extend an invitation for you to make that decision today, that you would do something very bold. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying for and who I'm praying with. If that's you in the room, you just raise your hand right now, make eye contact with me, and then put your hand right back down. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand, sir. I see that hand, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else in this room? Anyone else in this room that wants to make that decision today? It's your decision and your decision alone, but can I tell you, it's the greatest decision you will ever make. Your life won't become this perfect life, but I will tell you this, what you will get far surpasses what you've got right now, and compared to him, you have nothing. Anyone else, before I move on, those of you that are watching us online, if that's you today and you know that you need to make a decision, just type that in the chat, I want to make this decision today, and that chat host will be right there with you, praying with you. Let's all say this prayer together, repeat after me, because once we're in the family of God, we're a family, right? We're a family, and family doesn't go alone, we go together. So let's all say this together. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I recognize today that I am a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and 3 days later you rose to give me brand new life. From this day forward, I will do the best that I know how to live out your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of the family of God said, amen. Amen. Come on. Let's celebrate today. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate.
Woo! Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.